There we go. Good morning, everyone. Now we're recording it, so it's all good. How are you? Romans 8, chapter 8, verse is 18 through the end of the chapter. For I consider the sufferings of this present time not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revelation of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to fertility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved, or we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit in it himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he searches hearts, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be firstborn among many brothers. And those who he has predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If he did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depths, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help me share this message with your people. Lord, that they would be edified, but above all, you would be glorified. Have your way this morning, Lord, and allow this to resonate in our hearts and souls. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Most of us, I'll put it this way, some of us have been through a trial this last couple of weeks. I was in a hospital myself, couldn't breathe. But by the grace of God, I'm here today. And I sat there thinking about, on a Sunday the 27th, saying, Lord, I'm ready because I can't breathe. If you take me home, I'm okay with that. But he wasn't done with me. He's still not done with me. And I'm grateful for that too. If we look at this text, part of this section deals with the very real problem of suffering and pain. Perhaps the best way to understand this section is to understand the three groans that are discussed. And we go through pain, we go through trials, we go through struggles, we go, where's God in all of us? He's always there. He is our hope. He is our strength. He is our shield. However, this groaning is not a useless thing. Paul compares it to a woman in travail. There is pain, but the pain will end when the child is delivered. One day creation will be delivered, and the groaning creation will become a gracious creation. The believer does not focus on today's suffering. He looks forward to tomorrow's glory. Today's groaning bondage will be exchanged for tomorrow's glorious liberty. All the things that we go through now, all the things that we're struggling with now, don't focus on that. Focus on what's to come. Focus on how this is all going to be set free at some point. We can say, I just don't feel good. This life just stinks right now. It does. It works. We'll get over it. It'd be like passing the kidney stone, and guess what? I do one of those too, and it doesn't feel good. Romans 8:18, for I consider the suffering of this present time not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed to us.
The glory that's going to be revealed in and through us in Christ is going to change everything. Just to be amazing what God can do with us and in and through you.
2 Corinthians 4, 15 and 18. For it is all for your sake, so that the grace extends to more and more people, and may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The things that we go through are going to be for His glory. The things that you're struggling with, it'll be for His glory. But we've grown as believers. The reason we've grown is because we have experienced the first fruit of the Spirit, a foretaste of glory to come. Just as the nation of Israel tasted the first fruits of Canaan when the spies returned in Numbers 13, so we Christians have tasted the blessing of heaven through the ministry of the Spirit. This makes us want to see the Lord, receive a new body, and live with Him and serve Him forever. We are waiting for the adoption, which is the redemption of our bodies when Christ returns, and He will return. In Philippians 3, 17-21, brothers, join in imitating me and keeping your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and I tell you with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, their glory and their shame, with mindsets on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies into His glorious body by the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself. There is a time coming that God Almighty will change everything about us to make us like His Son. And we need to be encouraged by that. All of this is all temporary. What we're going through right now, what we're dealing through right now, is temporary. The sickness, the illness, the junk, it's temporary. Eternal is with Christ. This is the turning climax, the adoption that took place at the conversion of the Spirit of adoption, giving us as an adult standing in God's family. When Christ returns, we shall enter into our full inheritance. When our Lord comes back, and He is coming back, everything's going to be put in place. You're seeing things in a whole different perspective because it's no longer through man's eyes, it's through God's eyes. And it will be made right. All the pain, all the stuff, it'll stop. Meanwhile, while we wait, we are saved by that hope. A little translation from verse 24. What hope? The blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. From Titus 2:13. The best is yet to come. The believer does not get frustrated when he sees or experiences suffering and pain in this world. He knows that it's temporary. Suffering will one day give way to eternal glory. And also the Spirit groans. The Holy Spirit groans. God is concerned about the trials of His people. When He was ministering on earth, Jesus groaned when He saw the sin was doing to mankind. From Mark 7:34 and John 11. Today, the Holy Spirit groans with us and feels the burden of our weakness and suffering. But the Spirit does more than groan. It prays for us in His groaning that we might be led into the will of God. We do not always know God's will. We do not always know how to pray. But the Spirit intercedes for us that we might live in the will of God despite the suffering. The Spirit shares the burden. The believer never needs faint in times of suffering and trials because he knows God is at work in the world. And that He has a perfect plan. God has two purposes for the plan, for His good and His glory. Ultimately, He will make us like Jesus Christ. Best of all, God's plan is going to succeed. It started in eternity past when He chose us in Christ Jesus from Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. He predestined us, and one day He will be like His Son. Predestined applies to saved people only. Nowhere are we taught that God's predestined people to be eternally condemned. If they are to be condemned, it's because of the refusal to trust in Jesus Christ. They choose. We all choose. We trust in the Lord because He is the only one who came to save. To those whom He chose, He called. And when He responded to this call, He justified them and also glorified them. This means that the believer has already been glorified in Christ. The revelation of His glory awaits from the coming of the Lord. How can we Christians ever be discouraged and frustrated when we already share in the glory of God? Our suffering today only guarantees that much more glory when Christ returns. Out of all the things that we go through, all the things that are happening,
Look, we're going to go through things. This is point blank. We live in a fallen world. This is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. So you're going to go through things. But praise God, He's with you. He's interceding for us. And He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. He gives us the strength when we think we can't do it anymore. He is the one who enables us to continue when we think we can't continue any longer. And then we have freedom from fear. Because there's no separation. There's now no condemnation because we share in the righteousness of God when the law cannot condemn us. There is no obligation because we have the Spirit of God who enables us to overcome the flesh and live for God. There is no frustration because we share the glory of God, the blessed hope of Christ's return. There is no separation because we experience the love of God. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Yeah, the Lord put this on my heart to share with you because do not be frustrated with the things that are going on and why does this person do that and that person. Look, we all have to stand before a just and holy God alone on our own merit, not based on someone else. And I share this with you because I want you to understand because we are in Christ, we can stand before a just and holy God knowing that we're okay, not in our merit, but in His. His righteousness. The emphasis on this final section is the security of the believer. We do not need to fear the past, present, or future because we are secure in the love of Christ. Paul presented five arguments to prove that there could be no separation between a believer and a Lord. Number one, God is for us. The Father is for us. Proved it by giving His Son. The Son is for us. So is the Spirit. God is making all things work together for good. And this present person, in His person and providence, God is for us. Sometimes, like Jacob, we lament, all things are against me, when actually everything is working for us. The conclusion is obvious. If God is for us, who can be against us? Because we're in Christ, we have enemies. We wrestle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and evil people. It's just point blank. But because we're in Christ, we overcome all these things because He is greater than He was in the world. It's from 1 John chapter 4. We have more power at our disposal in Christ Jesus because God is for us. We just need to tap into it through prayer and righteous living. Righteous living. Oh, believers. The believer needs to enter into each new day realizing that God is for him. There's no need to fear, for His loving Father desires the best for His children. Even if we must go through trials to receive His best, we know the plans that He has for us, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity. Plans for a future and hope, from Jeremiah 29:11. And remember, Christ died for us. The argument here is from the lesser to the greater. If when we were sinners, God gave His best, now that we are God's children, what won't He give for us? I mean, think about that for just a second. Jesus used the same argument trying to convince people that they were foolish to worry and fear. God cares for the birds and the sheep and even the lilies. Surely He will care for us. God is dealing with His own on the basis of Calvary's grace, not on the basis of law. God freely gives all things to His own people. And God has justified us. This means that He has declared us righteous in Christ. Satan would like to accuse us, but we stand righteous in Jesus. We are God's elect, chosen in Christ and accepted in Christ. God will certainly not accuse us since it is He who justifies. For him who accuses would mean that his salvation was a failure and that we are still in our sins. Understanding the meaning of justification brings peace to our heart. When God declares a believing sinner righteous in Christ, the declaration never changes. Let me say that again. It never changes. When we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, we're done. It's paid for. Our position in Christ is perfect. Our condition is still a work in progress. But understand this, God is moving in and through us, and as long as we are His children, and He allows us to go through whatever we got to go through in order to cling to Him, praise the Lord. Because that is what's changing us. That is what's making us more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. Our Christian experience changes from day to day, but justification never changes. We may accuse ourselves, and men may accuse us, but God will never take us to court and accuse us. Jesus already paid the penalty, and we're secure in Him. Christ intercedes for us. The dual intercession keeps the believer secure in Christ. The Spirit intercedes, and the Son of God intercedes. The same Savior who died is now interceding for us in heaven as our high priest. He can give us grace we need to overcome temptation and defeat the enemy. As our advocate, He can forgive us our sins and restore our fellowship with God. Intercession means that Jesus Christ represents us before the throne of God, and we do not have to represent ourselves. Paul hinted at this ministry of intercession in Romans 5, 9 through 10. We are not only saved by His death, but we are also saved by His life. Therefore, He is able to save completely those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for us. Peter sinned against the Lord, but was forgiven and restored to the fellowship because Jesus prayed for him. And He said, Simon, Simon, listen, Satan has asked permission to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed especially for you that your faith may not utterly fail. He is interceding for each of us, a ministry that assures us that we are secure. Out of all the things that go on, out of all the things that are happening, all the things that you go through, God is for us. And if He is for us, working in and through us for His glory and kingdom, what won't He do for you? What won't He do for you? If it's all for me, then why am I going through all these troubles? Why am I going through all these trials? Why am I going through all these different things? In order to get you to grow. How do you grow unless you're put to the test? How do you know what you can even endure unless you're put to the test? These are all the things that come up. Christ loves us. In Romans 8, 31-34, Paul proved that God cannot fail us because it is impossible. Because it is possible that we can fail Him. Suppose some great trial or temptation comes and we fail, what then? I mean, you might be thinking about that. I don't know if I'm doing this because I failed. I can't measure up. Rightfully, it's not based on us, it's based on Him. Paul deals with the problem in the final section. He explains that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. To begin with, God does not shelter us from difficulties of life because we need them for our spiritual growth. God assures us that the difficulties of life are working for us, not against us. God permits trials to come that we might use them for our good and His glory. We endure trials for His sake. And since we do, do you think that He will desert us? I mean, if you go through trials, you think God's going to let you go because you're going through a trial, you've got an issue, you're struggling? No, He's going to see us through it. He's going to make sure that we don't stumble. We don't get to the point we can't come back. He's going to help us out in all we do. Because He is for us, who can be against us? You got to make sure you understand that everything that's happening, everything that's going on, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse in some regards, but you're also going to get stronger in what God can do through you. Instead, He is closer when we go through difficulties of life. Furthermore, He gives us the power to conquer. And we are more than conquerors. Literally, we are super conquerors through Jesus Christ. He gives us victory and more victory. We need not fear life or death, things present, things to come, because Jesus Christ loves us and gave us the victory. This is not a promise with conditions attached. If you do this, then God will do that. This security in Christ is an established fact, and we claim it for ourselves because we are in Christ. Look, out of all the things that happen, all the things that go on, all the things you might be going through, if you are in Christ, you can overcome. The problem with it is it's not going to be on your time frame. It's going to be on His. That's the hardest part to deal with. Because we have this mindset, maybe it's a J.G. Wentworth mindset. It's my money and I want it now. The reality of it is, we can't force God's blessing on us. His blessing will come in our obedience to Him. We can't live in sin and expect God to do in our lives what we want Him to do if we're not living right with Him. And I say all this to you because I want you to understand, if God is for us, who can be against us? If God is the one working in and through, I pray that He keeps us invisible to all things. I pray that He allows only what He wants to come through to us in order for us to glorify His name in the process. So we had COVID come through. We had people get sick. We had a lot of people still wondering, curious, and cautious about being around folks. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'd rather get it done and out of the way right now and remind us that we're, just because we're out here in the country doesn't mean we're isolated so much that we can't get anything. We need to be wise. But if God is for us, we'll overcome this. And it just did one more thing under our belt and say, yes, we live through it, we survive through it, and we'll go forward even more. If I die in the process of all of this, I'm going to be dying for the Lord because it's all for His glory. We'll make it. This trial is only going to make us stronger if we allow God to work through us in all of that. Somebody passed away. Teresa. She's already in glory. She has nothing to worry about. She's back with her loved ones. She died. Why? How? I have no idea. Only God knows, all honesty, what took place, what all happened. But the reality of it is, look, none of us are promised tomorrow, and that is why we have to be right with God now. We have to be in Christ. We have to have that relationship with Jesus because He is the only one that is our hope, our shield, our strength. Without Him, we have nothing. He is coming back. And I'll tell you this. I do believe Jesus Christ is going to come back long before Donald Trump comes back. The majority of people are looking for a political solution for a spiritual problem, and it's not going to happen. I say this to you because I want you to understand. Yes, we have this COVID, whatever it was that went through. And people are still sick, and some of you are still sick. It will get better. You will get over it. We will go forward, and we will be fine. Why? Because we serve a living God. And I can tell you this. I have no doubt Almighty God is going to see us through. One way or the other, we'll get through. Because He is that good. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand. Out of all the things that happen, out of all the things that take place, I go back to Philippians 1:6. I am sure of this, that He who began a good work will see it through to completion the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. God is going to work in and through us. He is interceding for us. The Son is, the Spirit is, and He's allowing what we go through, these trials, to change us and conform us more and more into His image. That we resemble Christ more and more. Why? Because we hold on to the truth of His holy word. He is God, and He is the only one that can redeem and save. And brothers and sisters, He is our strength, He is our hope, and without Him we have nothing else. I hope this has been an encouragement to you all. I'm grateful to have you all here today. Before you leave, Steve Christick, if you want to come with an offering plate and you stand out there, they can drop off their offering if they haven't done it yet, and we'll go from there. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so very much for this day, for the people You brought here, for the message You allowed me to share with Your people. And Lord, I pray it resonates in their hearts. Help them to understand, to know that You are our strength, our shield, our hope. And Lord, without You, we have nothing. But because of who You are and who we are in You, Lord, there's so much available to us that we don't even realize and we haven't even tapped into. You are the only one that can justify. You are the only one that can make right. And if You have declared us holy, righteous, Lord, there's no one to accuse. Nothing can separate us from Your love. Help us to walk in that love. Help us to walk in that freedom. Help us to walk the way You would have us, that we can glorify Your holy name. Lord, it's by Your grace, Your amazing grace, that we can do any of this. And what You've done for us while we were yet sinners, until we can respond to You. And Lord, now that we have responded, we need to work and live out our life for Your glory and kingdom. We praise You now for what You're about to do in our lives. In Jesus' holy name, amen.